Episode of Real Comm Live, in fact, episode 45. It is hard to believe that we've been doing this for almost a year. Along the way, we've had a lot of fun, had a lot of great guests, a few technical difficulties, but it is turning out to be a great way to keep a conversation going weekly on what's going on in real estate and technology. This week, yet another phenomenal guest. We got Will O'Donnell, managing partner of Prologis Ventures. We spoke with Prologis a few weeks ago, more from an operational and organizational standpoint. This week, we're going to understand what this industrial behemoth, global behemoth, is doing from a venture standpoint. In other words, looking for technology out there from a venture capitalist perspective, helping new organizations get off the ground, finding new technologies they could use within the organization. And I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from Will, who's been an industry veteran and really understands and knows what he's talking about. So with that, I'd like to bring on Will, and let's get our conversation started. Will, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I am well. Always good to say. I think the last time I saw you in person, gosh, we did a panel with Scott Morey about the impact of technology on retail. Was that 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's a lifetime ago with the hiatus we've had because of COVID. So it's good to see you at least.
Yeah, but it is amazing though, where the community, as tough as these last couple of years have been, it stays together, right? It keeps communicating. It keeps the conversations going. And you know, even though we haven't seen each other in person, I feel like it was yesterday. Then we were together running around the convention center trying to figure out all this technology stuff. So. For me, at least, it's been more than a job and much more of a career because of people like you and organizations like Prologis. So, all right. So a lot of people know who you are, but some people watching may not. So why don't we give them a little context and give us the Will O'Donnell journey, right? A couple minutes. How did you get from, you know, out of school through all this, you know, real estate? How did you get into technology? And how did you land in your current role?
Gotcha. So, I've been at Prologis for 18 years now, and have served a pretty wide variety of roles. Sorry, am I having technical difficulties?
No, you sound good.
All right. So originally out of college, I was actually a management consultant focused on technology, and then graduated and worked at a digital marketing firm. In 2003, I joined AP, which is the predecessor to Prologis. And served a pretty wide variety of roles. Got to do a lot of our international expansion, helping open up Mexico, China, India, and South Korea. Have been in capital raising. Worked on the merger and acquisition between Prologis and AMB. Took over some private funds and did workouts. And really started looking at our value-added portfolio. But about 5 years ago, Hamid, who's the CEO, and I were having a conversation about really how we saw an opportunity to drive innovation in the industry. Then I think real estate historically had been in a position where you didn't have to worry about disruption, that if you owned a well-located building in the center of a city, you could collect rent. But we were starting to see an evolution and a change. And we've been a beneficiary of e-commerce, but our customers' fundamental business strategies and how they were operating was beginning to evolve. And we also started looking and saying, you know what, historically the real estate industry hasn't leveraged data to the opportunity that we thought was possible. So March of 2016, we launched Prologis Ventures. And it was really our first foray into looking beyond our walls to understand what are other industries doing? What type of disruptive technology is out there that could impact us or impact our company, our customers, and really trying to understand how we could get ahead of what's next and position ourselves as a company to really provide solutions for our customers in a really evolving world. And I think all of us have seen in the last couple of years in particular, the emergence of same day, next day, and the expectations that I can have products delivered to my house the day, even the same day I order it. And the impact that has to go on the underlying supply chain is huge. So we really saw an opportunity to really drive that forward and look at how we as a company could leverage our scale and platform to continue to be a leader.
So when we were chatting, getting ready for this episode, you said something kind of, you know, we used to be four walls and a roof, right? And then we started looking at what our customers do. Can you give us a little breakdown on what Prologis Ventures does? You know, do you buy companies? Do you invest in companies? How many companies have you invested in? A little bit of the structure of Prologis Ventures.
So Prologis Ventures serves a couple of different roles. On the corporate venture side, we make investments in Series A through growth stage companies, really ones that we as a company could become a customer of or a partner of, ones that are infrastructure related to the industrial real estate, or thirdly, where it's really disruptive to supply chain and logistics. So looking at things like autonomous vehicles, transportation technology, labor technology, as this urban fulfillment, we can go through a whole list, but it's looking at the pain points around supply chain and logistics, how data visibility really allows our customers to be more successful. But where we also saw an opportunity is real estate in, to some degree, is an unusual business where you spend 3 months negotiating a contract with a customer, but then ignore them for the next 5 years and really just—
I remember you saying that, yeah.
But we saw an opportunity that as our customers, that supply chain and being able to move into warehouses faster and faster and quicker and be in the right locations became more of an urgency, that we had the opportunity of their size and scale to really understand what type of products or services that they needed to operate the warehouse and how could we leverage our scale to be able to provide that to them, bring in the right partners. And part of it is venture capital. Part of it, we have a team called Prologis Essentials, which really goes out and works with some of the top vendors, whether it's racking, forklifts, products, and says all the services that someone needs to operate a warehouse, and helps our customers be able to integrate those solutions in their business quicker. And then also as a group, we're incubating new businesses. So we just started a business, what we call Smart Buildings, which is how do we provide the IT infrastructure that our customers need to operate a warehouse in a turnkey solution. One of the new initiatives I'm really proud of is our EV charging infrastructure. So we just hired a new lead for that. And our customers are going to have hundreds of thousands of vehicles that they're purchased that are EV. But the infrastructure to charge large size fleets doesn't exist today. So we see a really unique opportunity to be at the forefront of driving that change. And really, there's few circumstances where you have big opportunity to really drive something that's been really beneficial for our globe and our planet with the clean technology behind EV and just a really exciting business opportunity. So it's something that we've recently begun launching and I'm really excited about the opportunity that we have there.
So I think you said about 30 companies that you've been involved with today. Is that about right? So on something like the EV or frankly, any of these other companies, do you sell that technology to your competitors? Is it something you keep to yourself? Is it just for the benefit of Prologis or is it a viable ongoing concern on its own?
Yeah, so when we're making investments in startups, we are, sometimes we're the customer of it, but we don't want to preclude them from selling into the rest of the industry. And if you're a startup and you're a company like Prologis comes in and says, you can only be our customer, they're not going to have a huge growth opportunity. We look at it as a way that we can help that company accelerate the growth and be part of their success. If it's something that we think is proprietary technology, we'll develop it in-house. For the businesses that we're incubating, a lot of those are for our customers, but we fully expect in a lot of cases our customers will not just want to use them on Prologis buildings, but want to use it on other facilities. So we're really looking at a mentality of what's best for our customer and how do we create the right solution for them. We can obviously leverage our portfolio, but we want to work with our customers and really help them across the board.
Right. Well, and that's obviously, in my opinion, the attitude of a leader, somebody who just says, I'm going to keep innovating. I'm going to keep moving forward as fast as I can. It'll be good for us. It'll be good for the industry. And if our competitors benefit from that, so be it. I think that's the way leaders are established. Do what's right and good will follow.
Yeah, and I would say our technology team and our CTO have done a fantastic job of really developing technology that we would consider proprietary. So our internal systems and how we manage our leasing, how we execute capital deployment, how we make decisions around revenue management. There's a lot of proprietary technology that that team has built. And that's right. Like some stuff, it is our secret sauce and we're investing really heavily in developing it. But there's a lot of technology, especially general solutions, that there's a rising tide. And we firmly believe if we're investing in startups that we are a conduit to make them more successful, but we can't close it off from the rest of the industry.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So let's talk, what we'll do is we got about 4 or 5 minutes before we take a break. So yep. Let's talk about the specific initiatives. I really liked your phrase from networks to forklifts, right? That kind of encompasses everything that happens inside of an industrial piece of real estate. Let's talk about a couple of the initiatives that are already in place. You know, let's just break it down. Network technology, a new tenant moves in. What types of things are you offering them today that make it easier and expand the scope of what a traditional industrial real estate company would have done?
Yeah, so specifically on the network infrastructure side and our smart building initiative, we've built out partnerships with providers that when a customer comes into a building, we'll have the ISP ready and open so we can have the internet running day one. We're going to lay out the fiber. And it's actually interesting. Historically, customers would lay fiber out in the building, use it, and when they leave, they would have to rip everything out. And the next customer comes,
that's the same.
And there's lead times to this. So we're trying to figure out ways that we can actually accelerate their ability to get up and running. So we'll put the fiber in place. We'll then work with them to understand, okay, from like a wireless AP network, what do you want and how do we lay it out for you? A lot of times in cases, customers want to manage that self, or they have their own particular requirements. They can insert it into our backbone and use it. We have other customers who just want to manage service and something completely turnkey. They just want it on. And through our partnerships and through our solution, we're able to provide that to them. And then you look at all the devices that can get plugged into it, whether it's
let's hold that thought till after the break, because I want to talk about futures. I want to talk about what you guys have done to date. Let's go way back. How about especially with ESG, the E and ESG being such an issue and topic right now. Tell us where you are, you know, with your solar initiative. I mean, for goodness sakes, you were one of the first people to put solar panels on your roof and actually become an energy company. I mean, that's old news, but it's still powerful news.
Yeah, and I would say it's old news, but it is a huge focus for us right now. And we are investing very heavily. So we are the world's largest. So we're the third largest owner of rooftop solar in the world. And it's about 1% of our portfolio. And we have, it's about 260 megawatts. So we see a huge opportunity as things like EV come online, programs like community solar, and more of our customers are really looking for renewable energy solutions to partner with them and provide it. So it's an area that we've got a fantastic team focused on it. And as a company from Hamid on down, it is a huge priority of ours.
And then just to give people context again, how many years ago, 7, 8?
We originally launched it probably about a decade ago. Okay. I would say within the last 2 years, we've really started ramping it up. And this last year, the pipeline that we have of potential projects is really exciting. And it's an area that we are really passionate about. If you look at kind of the awards that we've won from some pretty prestigious organizations about our sustainability, not as a real estate company as a whole, but as a company against everyone, it's something that we're really passionate and we're very focused on helping our industry drive forward, whether it's from our carbon neutral development, whether it's the solar, we're investing in battery storage programs. We just launched this EV charging business, but it's ESG is kind of core to our fundamental beliefs as a company. And we're really excited about the opportunity.
Yeah. And again, you know, industrial, a lot of times from an innovation standpoint, gets put to the side. We talk about office and retail, but based upon your past 10 plus years in consistently innovating, as you said, I don't think you're just going to set standards for the industrial side of the business. I think you're going to set standards for all building types as well as industries in general. So.
Yeah, fortunate. We have 1 billion square feet, which you think about from a solar business, be able to build out solar on top of that platform. That's why we're so excited. And it's a very differentiating offering that we can provide both our customers and utilities and other people.
Yep. All right, let's take a brief break, hear from one of our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to continue that conversation on the smart building and what the future holds for Prologis in respect to that initiative. All right, let's get right back to our conversation with Will and the future of Prologis' smart building initiative. All right, Will, so, you know, as I'm piecing together what Prologis is doing, it's starting to feel like the game SimCity. I don't know if you've ever played that where you build your own city, right? Yep. So you got 1 billion square feet. You got these square boxes that for most, historical perspectives were dumb boxes, right? All of a sudden you put solar on the roof, which is low voltage, great, renewable energy. You're bringing in broadband. You're putting in fiber infrastructure. Now all of a sudden you're saying, wow, this is starting to look like a smart building, smart city, right? And then comes all the opportunities for the next generation of building IoT, the sensors, the monitoring. Why don't you give us a little idea of what you're thinking in the future as far as how do you now take advantage of that infrastructure you've laid in place?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to data. And everyone is very focused in trying to figure out how do we leverage data. And I think one of the most important things that we've developed is data for the sake of data is useless. You really need to be able to turn it into actionable insights.
Right.
And you're managing the building. How do we get predictive about the maintenance? How do we understand where something might fail before it does fail? From our customer's operation standpoint, how do they leverage technology to increase operational efficiency? And then you also see the emergence of automation within the warehouse. And we as a company have spent a lot of time really understanding what the potential opportunity there is and how we can help accelerate and help our customers. And I think the way we've looked at it is it's really an enhancement of the human labor workforce, and it creates a safer environment. So if you look in a traditional pick and pack facility, someone might have to walk 7 to 9 miles a day picking things off shelves. It's a really physical demanding position. There's technology, and we've invested in a company called Locus Robotics, for example, that a human can stand there and the robot will come to them, tell them what to put in the bin, drive away, and another robot will come. So it increases efficiency and creates a better environment for the labor. Right. We've invested in an autonomous yard truck company. And historically, the yard is one of the most dangerous places in a warehouse because you have big trucks driving around it and humans. But if you can get automation there, you can actually create an incredibly safe and efficient environment. So for us, the labor is one of the biggest areas that we're focused on, because we've asked our customers, it's pain point number 1, 2, and 3. And turnover is hard. As everyone's aware, recruiting people to work right now is a challenge for anyone. Right. So the more we can partner with our customers and understand from a sustainability effort, how do we build a greener building? How do we build a better environment? How do we put amenities in place that allow the workers in there to have a better experience? We've invested in technology, for example, a company called Workstep that provides labor databases to our customers that they can use to then go and recruit qualified labor.
You're really digging deep.
Yeah, we've invested in a wearables company called Kinetic that provides safety for workers. So if you're doing a movement that could be potentially damaging or hurting, it will give you a little ping and help work correct their posture. So things like that we get really excited about, because it's something that really provides unique value for our customers and solves true pain points.
Well, just the 3 or 4 examples you just mentioned go right to the heart of, four walls and a roof, to really diving into what your customers do for a living. And P.S., there's a whole bunch of additional services you can sell them.
Yep.
and take the net operating income of Prologis through the roof, right? So what's the message here to other industrial real estate owners? I mean, given your size and scale and your consistent level of innovation, you're becoming a pretty formidable force. It's get on the boat or get on the train, I guess would be the advice. Any insights to, in general about the industry?
I mean, I think we're in a unique position in the industry because of our size and scale that we are able to invest and experiment and try things like this. And I think philosophically, the company's just geared this way on how do we create something new? How do we not be satisfied? And how do we really differentiate? I think the advice I give more in generally, and this would be beyond real, beyond industrial, kind of anyone in real estate, is there's a really unique opportunity to become more customer focused. And we as a company in the last couple of years have spent a lot of time really understanding what that means to us. And by that, really listening to our customers and engaging them in dialogue that we didn't have before. So you had asked earlier kind of some of the activities the Ventures team does. One of the biggest things that we do is co-innovation with our customers. So we actually have labs in Oakland where we have a warehouse that we our customers can come in and test technology alongside us, because a lot of times they can't test it in an operating warehouse.
Right.
We'll pick up the phone and call our customers and ask them, what is the issue you're having with labor? What's causing it? What's the root cause? And we found that across our portfolio, we're able to connect the dots because we can see the same patterns over and over. And then the question we ask is there a way that we, with Prologis, with our platform, with our employees, is there ways that we can influence an outcome to the benefit of our customers? And I'd say from across the executive team and leadership and throughout our field, everyone is really, really focused on the customer.
Well, you know, and I got to tell you, in a time when people are getting a little sarcastic or skeptical about customer service, right? We've all have those horror stories where you can't get, you know, somebody in a retail store to pay attention to you, or the waitress or waiter throws food at you. I mean, this is customer service on steroids. I mean, the message I have to the industry is listen to Prologis, watch Prologis, and understand what they're doing, because they will own the industry. And that's true for any sector. People who put their ear to the ground and listen to customers and use technology as a tool, that's an unbeatable combination.
I agree. It is a lot of work. It's not easy. It's a different reality. But there's the organization's completely bought off on it. And it's actually really, it's fun. And it
is fun. Yeah.
And we're able to create new things. And I think
it's much more fun to lead than to follow. I've always said, right? And leading is hard because there's a lot of unknowns. But once you get a rhythm going, it's a better place to be. Listen, we only have a minute left, so I'm going to ask a quick final question of you.
All right.
The year is 2030. Okay. Both of us have been augmented with technology so we can run 2-minute miles. Okay. what is the warehouse industrial building look like? Give us in 60 seconds. What does that building look like 9 years from now?
I think starting with one of the biggest ins and outs, transportation. And I think we're going to see a huge conversion over to EV. And we're going to start seeing autonomous vehicles in their impact. I think with EV, the amount of fuel that are going to go to the solar battery storage, et cetera. I think when you get inside the warehouse, there's going to be a lot more data and visibility. And by that, if you think of the complexity of being able to deliver a package to me 3 hours after I ordered it, there's an inordinate amount of work that goes in to make sure you get the right inventory in the spot. And that's technology. And the warehouse is going to get smarter and smarter, but they're going to have to be interfaced in with the trucks. They're going to have to be interfaced in with the receiver, interfaced in with the retail store in kind of a seamless manner. And it's a company as a whole. One of our thoughts since I've been here is always, it's about the flow of goods and being in the middle of commerce and accelerating that flow. And I think the building in 2030 is just going to be a constant movement and just the right inventory at the right place, but it requires
like a digital dance.
It's a good way to think about it.
And I guess clipboards and spreadsheets will hopefully be a thing of the past.
Well, spreadsheets always seem to be there somewhere. It is. And that's where you get into technologies with AI and ML, which for us is also another exciting area that really enhanced people's decision making, allow us beyond to make decisions that we can't do in a spreadsheet.
Absolutely. Well, listen, yeah. Always a pleasure. Great seeing you, if not in person, at least virtually. You're smarter than you were the last time I met you. So, or saw you. So it sounds like things are going well. And I really just want to say thank you for taking the time to be with us.
No, it's an absolute pleasure.
Okay. You be well, and look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Be well. All right. So with that, let's bring on Howard Berger, who's going to bring us up to speed on the real estate tech news of the week. Howard, what a great guy. Wow. The story continues, keeps getting better.
Thanks, Jim. I mean, always had an eye on Prologis as being out there and the most, without a doubt, the most innovative company in it. And thank you, Will. That was a great conversation. So as Jim mentioned, news, we highlight stories from our weekly briefing that's released every Thursday morning. And this week's lead story is by Jim Young, and it relates to our 2021 conference theme, Resilience, R-E, Using Tech and Innovation to Navigate an Ever-Changing World. Now, it chronicles our journey since our June 2019 conference in Nashville, which was the last time the RealCom community got together en masse. The short story is that COVID hit, RealCom didn't retreat, but rather looked to the pandemic as an opportunity to help our industry really figure out how to proactively pivot to a hybrid mentality and apply those learnings not only to our companies, but our commercial real estate portfolio. So fast forward to 2021, we're busy preparing for our conference in November. And despite all the COVID and Delta issues, we're taking time to do it right, think through all those issues and solutions. It really present a showpiece of what a next generation event could and should look like. And our goal is to provide a place for our in-person attendees to interact, socialize, learn, have fun, just as we've done for the last 20 plus years, and doing it in an engaging and safe way. You know, we're going to be at the Westin Kierland Resort and Spa in Scottsdale. It's a beautiful, healthy, clean desert community. Tons of room to spread out, breathe, network, learn, and have some fun. It'll be a little bit smaller than the 2019 Nashville conference, but it's going to have all the components that have traditionally made RealCom special over the years. We're continually learning and evolving like the rest of the industry and actualizing our theme of resilience. So hope to see you all in Scottsdale in a few months. MRI Software just acquired a company called FSI. It's a UK-based cloud-based facilities management software solution provider. And this FSI acquisition is going to complement MRI's prior acquisition years ago of Cube Global, their IWMS, Integrated Workplace Management System. Now, this is going to provide data and IoT connectivity for smart maintenance, also facilitate remote workforce management, including initiation and tracking of service requests. Plus, FM teams are going to be able to continually monitor and manage energy with goals of cutting carbon emissions and improving equipment life. So what we've been seeing a lot more of these strategic partnerships between FM and IWMS providers, and I think it's a natural evolution for both. So bravo, MRI. Finally, Facebook's betting that in the near future, we'll all be having our meetings in virtual reality. Horizon Workrooms is a free app for Oculus Quest 2 users that allows up to 16 VR headset users meet in a virtual conference room. Now, it supports up to 50 participants, with the rest joining as video callers who are going to appear in a grid-like flat screen in the meeting room like a Zoom or a Team screen. This technology is evolving, I got to say, but it's still far from perfection. Will it gain traction as a viable business tool? I'm not sure. But we're keeping an eye on it, and we're going to have some fun with it in the meantime. So that's it for me. I'm out of time today, but there's a lot more in our weekly briefing. Check it out, and I'll see you all next week.
All right. So, Howard, we've been following the virtual reality world for, gosh, when did we do Core Tech at Sprint's headquarters in Kansas City? 7 years ago?
Yeah, 7 years.
Yeah, about 7 years ago. And I remember the head of real estate at the time had a bunch of his corporate real estate facilities, engineers, maintenance people.
HoloLens, yeah.
Running around with the VR glasses, trying to see how it could help them fix machinery. So that journey's probably been 10 years, right? And we're seeing things like Facebook, you know, starting to come out with these products. So I would just say to everybody, don't just automatically discount them, okay? Maybe they seem a little goofy. Maybe they're not quite yet. Get in there, get off the bench, get up to the plate, swing, strike out, so you know what you're doing. This thing doesn't get solved overnight without trial and error. You need to fail fast, fail often, and figure out what this future world of real estate and tech looks like when it's put together.
Yeah, they're evolving. We don't know what these are going to look like 5 years from now. I mean, you know, we're developing the use cases, and I agree with you. Play with it. experiment.
Well, look at what Will said. They have a lab, right? They literally have a warehouse that's a prototype, you know, place for everybody to go and play.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
How do you get better at things? Do you just criticize from the sidelines, or do you actually get out there and try to?
Trying stuff long before the industry. They were using CBRS, internally for IoT connectivity years ago.
The message continues. Don't criticize from the sidelines if you're doing nothing. Get into the mix and learn, fail, and then eventually you succeed. It's the only formula that has ever worked, and it will continue to work. So thank you for a great job at finding those winners in the news. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, so we wrap episode 45, but before we go and I tell you about next week's show, let's hear from our final sponsor, and then I'll give you a little idea what we're going to be talking about next week. All right, and I got to tell you, for a guy who's been following smart buildings for probably my whole career, it's really exciting to watch these commercials of our solution providers. Their solutions are getting better. Their vision's getting more expanded, as evidenced by the commercials we watch. These folks are serious about this topic, and I just want to say thank you to all of them who are joining in on the fight. So next week, boy, I'll tell you, a really exciting episode for me. We're going back in time, and we are going to have two incredibly smart, hardworking, diligent leaders, guys who took chances, Larry Melton and Frank Santella from The Building People. But before they were The Building People, they were with GSA. And I will never forget the moment that Larry Melton walked into our exhibit floor, said, "I'm a facilities guy from the federal government, responsible for the real estate portfolio. What the heck am I doing here?" And my good friend, Howard Berger, who you just saw, walked Larry around the exhibit floor and introduced him to a few people, and the rest is history. We're gonna hear about that journey, the beginning of the GSA vision, all through the years, and then where Larry and Frank are right now, and what they see is gonna be happening in the future from their perspective. So really looking forward to having a chat with them. And with that, I bid you all farewell. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next Friday. Be well.